From this point are the states of the Swedes, who inhabit islands out in the ocean itself. Besides men and arms, possess strong fleets. The build of their vessels differs from ours in this. The stern is made like the bow, so that they can be beached either end foremost. Nor are their vessels worked with sails like ours, nor yet have they their oars fixed to the sides in regular banks. But they are fitted with loose sweeps, such as may be seen on some river craft, which can be shifted about as required from one side to the other. Among the Swedes, moreover, wealth and power are held in honour, and therefore one man bears sway. So now no longer do we find any form of independence, and the claim to obedience becomes absolute. Here, too, there is no general right of carrying arms, as in the other parts of Germany. The weapons are locked up in the charge of a keeper, and the keeper is a slave, because the ocean acts as a rampart against any sudden incursion of the enemy, and furthermore, an idle body of men with arms in their hand speedily tends to mutiny. It is unquestionably to the interest of the monarch not to commit the charge of the arms to either a noble or a freeman, nor even to a freed man. Beyond the country of the Swedes, there is another sea, sluggish and well-nigh motionless, which is believed to be the boundary and limit of the world, because here the last glow of the setting sun shines on into the following dawn, so as to dim the brightness of the stars. Nay, further, we are induced to credit the fact that the noise of the sun rising out of the waters is heard, and that his attendant deities are seen and his crown of rays. Thus far, and no further, and in this report speaks truly, does nature go. So now we turn back, and on the eastern shore of the Baltic Sea we find the tribes of the Eastmen dwelling along the coast. In their religion and in their fashions they are Swabians, but their language is more like the British. They worship the Mother of the Gods, and as a religious symbol they carry images of wild boars. The symbol serves instead of arms and every kind of assistance, and gives the devotee of the goddess a sense of safety, even in the midst of foes. Iron is scarce among them, and the use of the war club is common. They cultivate grain, and also fruit trees, with more patience than is usually exhibited by the indolent Germans. And besides this, they even search the sea, for they alone among mankind gather amber, or glessum as they call it, in the shallows and along the shore. And yet, like true barbarians, they have never asked nor ever found out what is its nature or how is it produced. Long it lay unheeded with the other flotsam and jetsam of the waves, until the day when our luxury made it famous. They make no use of it themselves. They pick it up rough, the shapeless lump finds its way to us, and they marvel at the price they get for it. Observation shows that it must be the gum of a tree, because within its transparent substance there are often visible various creatures, creeping or flying things, which having been entangled in the gum as it flows are imprisoned in its mass as it afterwards hardens. Therefore, I venture to think that in the isles and lands of the West there must be woods and groves of very luxuriant growth, like those of the far distant East, dropping frankincense and balsams, and that the burning rays of their near neighbour the sun melt and distill these humours until they drop into the sea below, and that then the force of the storms washes them up to the shores that lie opposite. If we test the nature of amber by applying fire to it, it blazes up like a torch and burns with a rich and strongly scented flame, and presently melts into a viscid mass like so much pitch or resin. The tribes of the Cetones are counterminous with those of the Swedes, whom they resemble in all respects with only one point of difference. They are ruled by a woman. So far, They fall not merely below the position of free men, but even beneath that of slaves. Here, Swabia comes to an end.